that you may.
My name is John Sparber, registration number 17977. Good afternoon, Judge Roman, Judge Nieto, and Judge Boris. We requested oral argument today to focus the court's attention on the fact that the factual issues before ALJ Jones at the first hearing, where I was counsel as well as Mr. Espinoza, where there were two modalities, and the factual issues at the second hearing, where there was only one modality, almost a year had transpired, and the modality that was adopted by Judge Jones failed to work, were not the same. And as the court knows from my brief, I focused the court's attention on Judge Kirksham's dissent at the ICAO level, because I think he elucidates the problem with Judge Kenichi's application of issue preclusion in this case. And as such, I'm requesting the court to remand it to ICAO with instruction to remand it to Judge Kenichi to enter an order on the merits. We still may lose, but at least we'll have an order on the merits as to whether a Sheckler risk as the last modality is available in this case. I'm not giving up the other two issues of the four problems of issue preclusion. I understand that the parties are the same. There's no dispute there. But we also maintain that there was no final judgment on the matters. First, if you look at ALJ Jones' summary order, it doesn't say forever. It says this time. And the nature of workers' compensation proceedings is a dynamic. I mean, this is an open case. The person's receiving medical care, they're receiving lost wage benefits. Every day that goes by, physically, circumstantially, factually, it is a different case. And therefore, there was not a final judgment. Had Judge Jones' order said, which I've never seen in an ALJ work composition say, forever barred, then I think we'd have a different issue. But it did. It said the Sheckler risk is denied, the spinal cord stimulators and.
So were the arguments different in the first and the second hearing, or were this the exact same argument as to the need for the wrist replacement?
I would say they're different, but I also understand the argument of the respondents that they're the same. They're different in the sense that in the first case, the Sheckler risk was strictly, we were really focusing on function and a little bit on pain. And in the first case, the spinal cord stimulator, we were focusing on pain. That was to address all the pain. The spinal cord stimulator went in, worked well for approximately 6 months, and then there was an automobile accident, it stopped working. The renewed request by the surgeon, Dr. Fry, who made the same request as the first hearing for the Sheckler risk, and this time the request was made to not only address function, but also address pain, which did not resolve with the spinal cord stimulator. So it's same but different.
Yeah, was that shift in focus made clear to ALJ Kenichi?
Yes. If you look at my opening argument to the judge, as well as my question to Dr. Shi, it was quite clear that the modality, in addition to the fact that there are two different modalities. I mean, when you go in front of Judge Jones the first time, it's two choices. Why are you going to appeal one if the first one's going to work? It's a waste of judicial resources. It's a waste of everyone's time. The first one did work, and I wish we hadn't had to come back to the Sheckler risk.
You say two choices. You weren't asking for both.
We were asking for one or the other? Yeah, we were asking for both. But when both weren't granted and we were only given one, we said, well, let's see if this works.
New argument did you have in the second case that wasn't presented in the first case, other than that the implant didn't work?
Well, the new argument was that, one, as you say, the implant didn't work, but second, it was the only modality left available, and that wasn't the circumstances in the first, Your Honor, which leads me to why there wasn't the same incentive, the third prong, to argue in the first as there was in the second. You'll note that there were different witnesses in the second. Dr. Moe didn't testify in the first. Dr. Fry didn't testify in the first. But in the second hearing before ALJ Kenichi, only one modality was available.
I didn't testify by deposition in the first one?
I don't believe so. I don't know. I don't believe so, sir. I think Fry's deposition was only in the second, since I'm the guy who called him, and I know I didn't pay the first, or my client didn't pay the first. I'd like to reserve, if there are no further questions, that is really where the focus of our argument is. And again, I'm asking you to remand it to ICAO, to remand it to ALJ Kenichi to enter a judgment on the merits. I reserve my remaining time.
If it may please the court, Joel Espinoza, number 29786, for the respondents, Pastor Camp Heating and Plumbing and Mid-Century Insurance Company. Your Honor, respondents did properly raise the defense of issue preclusion at the hearing before ALJ Kinesi. The first hearing before ALJ Jones in July of 2008 was, as noted, a dual request by claimant. He wanted the Schechler wrist and the spinal cord stimulator at the same time. Two different medical providers requested these procedures. ALJ Jones denied the Schechler wrist, which had been recommended by Dr. Fry. This is a left wrist injury from 2001. The spinal cord implant had been recommended by his pain doctor, Dr. Darasaw. The order was issued in a summary order. Neither party requested a full findings of fact. Neither party requested a petition review. So at this point, it becomes an undisputed fact that that order is final. As stated by counsel, one of the prongs of issue preclusion, the parties are the same. There's no dispute there. So at this point, there's two undisputed facts that two of the prongs have been met.
Counsel, let me ask you about this in the nature of workers' compensation law, which is kind of peculiar procedurally. I mean, there's no doubt that the first order was final in that at that point in time, only one procedure was authorized. But can you say that the order was final as far as ever reevaluating the necessity of the second procedure?
The ICAO did touch on that, where the order became final as to the Schechter risk subject to a petition reopening. Petition reopening would be when the claim closes. The claim is still open. So if the claim were to close sometime down the road, the claimant would first have to prove a worsening of condition to reopen the claim, get past that level, and then try to relitigate the Schechter wrist. I would probably still raise issue preclusion at that point, but in my reading of the ICAO's interpretation of that, I think that is what they were promulgating at that point.
Why isn't the fact that the first procedure failed, why isn't that a change in factual circumstance?
There is evidence in the record that the first procedure, first off, they weren't proffered as alternatives. They were proffered as being done concurrently. The medical records from Dr. Darasaw and Dr. Shi also testified to this fact that it appeared that the spinal cord implant was working. At the time that claimant applied for hearing in February of 2009, his auto accident, when it broke, was 2 months later in March of, in March of 2009. Dr. Fry, in October of 2008, less than 2 months from the order, was already recommending to go back to the Schechter wrist. In fact, in his deposition, when he was asked on cross-examination, I asked him, Doctor, is this the same recommendation that you've made since January of 2008? He said, yes. He never changed his opinion. He always wanted the Schechter wrist, regardless.
Isn't that just a way of saying that the claimant may lose on the merits, but that the issue didn't necessarily get decided in the first hearing? I mean, we're talking about which evidence is credible, and maybe the timing of it lends some doubt about whether or not the wrist procedure is necessary, but isn't that really going to the merits?
That would go to the merits, and yes, unfortunately, Judge Jones did not make credibility findings, and whether she would have weighed the preponderance of the evidence of the opinions, the contrary opinions of Dr. Britton and Dr. Shi, that the Schechter wrist was not reasonable and necessary versus that of Dr. Fry and claimant, we don't know. But we do know that his response was that the fact remained the same, that Dr. Fry really never stopped his request for the Schechter wrist, and ALJ Kinesi put it properly, saying that this is a renewed request. And in other words, it was just the same one.
But did the automobile accident cause a changed circumstance? I mean, regardless of whether the doctor had always wanted the same procedure?
It appears that the automobile accident would have caused a changed circumstance as the intervening event as to the spinal cord stimulator and whether the spinal cord stimulator would be replaced. But as to the left wrist, the claimant did not allege a specific injury to his left wrist out of the auto accident.
Any evidence of changed condition other than the simulator didn't work?
No, Your Honor.
None?
None. In fact, Dr. Darasaw pointed out that the claimant was very happy with the spinal cord stimulator at the time the application for hearing was filed. And in fact, Dr. Fry noted that the spinal cord stimulator was working, and he just continued to state that claimant has always had instability in the left wrist and how he wished to perform an eighth surgery on claimant. And so as far as the identity of issue, the dissent is, we never argued that it was just a legal issue that was identical, stated was the issue. The factual issue, I believe we proved it because Dr. Fry's positions never changed. It's always been the left wrist. It's always been the Schechter wrist. The issue of whether the claimant had the incentive to litigate the issue vigorously at the first hearing, I think it's really misstated with all respect to counsel. The primary focus at the first hearing in reviewing the transcript of the testimony and the cross-examination of Dr. Shi, and I believe the submissions as well, primarily focus on the Schechter wrist and the need for the Schechter wrist. The spinal cord implant was litigated, but not as vigorously as the Schechter wrist. The majority of the time was spent on the Schechter. That was actually the first modality recommended was the Schechter wrist. Then the spinal cord implant came along later. So if you look at the very beginning of this whole controversy, the Schechter wrist was the focus of the claimant. And with that, the dissent also noted that he only had an issue with whether or not the actual issue could be proven. He did not disagree that the other three prongs have been met. So with that, and in summation, all four prongs have been met, and claimant at this time should be barred from relitigating the Schechter wrist. He didn't prove at the first hearing that it was reasonable and necessary. He didn't prove at the second hearing that it was reasonable and necessary. And in reviewing the order from ALJ Kinesi and the ICAO, he didn't prove that the spinal cord stimulator failed. He has alleged that, but he didn't prove it that it failed. And the medical reports of Dr. Darasaw prove otherwise, as well as the opinions of Dr. Shi and Dr. Britton, that at this point, a further procedure direct to claimant's wrist is not reasonable and necessary. So respondents would ask the court, if there are no further questions, to affirm the orders below. Thank you.
Judge Nieto, I did review the file during Mr. Espinoza's argument, and Dr. Fry did not testify by deposition or live at the first hearing. Drs. Moe and Fry did testify at the second hearing. Judge Boris, you raised the question of petition to reopen, and with all due respect to ICAO, I have no idea what they were talking about when they raised the issue of petition to reopen, because this is an open claim. There's nothing to petition to reopen in this claim. That's the nature of comp cases. Always understand the Supreme Court's directive and the legislative intent to result in just results overrides the litigant's desire to see a final resolution. Finally, Judge Nieto, you raised the issue whether the circumstances for my injured worker were the same at the second hearing as they were in the first, and I respectfully disagree with Mr. Espinoza that they weren't. If you go to the trial transcript, page 15, line 25, and I believe it's cited in my brief, Dr. Fry testifies that the Schechter wrist will decrease the localized pain. If you go to page 16, line 24, line 14, Dr. Fry testifies he doesn't have an alternative after this. And that was not the circumstances before Judge Jones. Finally, if you go to the transcript of the deposition testimony, 17, line 19, Dr. Fry testifies that the purpose of the Schechter wrist is to decrease the amounts of medication and ongoing treatment that he currently had despite the spinal implant. So it's a different circumstance. I now have an injured worker that has a spinal cord stimulator. Whether it's worked or not is an issue for Judge Kinesi to address, but he hasn't addressed it, and that's what I'm asking you, with all due respect, to remand it down for reconsideration on this issue. It wasn't a final resolution. We did not have the same incentive to litigate it. The only thing that's really the same are the parties. If there are no further questions, I appreciate your time and consideration of this matter. Thank you.
Both for your fine arguments. The case will stand submitted and an opinion will issue in due course. That concludes our docket for today. The court will stand in recess and the bailiff shall so announce.
The court will be in recess subject to call.